from KQED. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Mina Kim. Coming up on Forum, it's the largest homeless camp Santa Rosa has ever known, according to officials. The mile-long tent encampment on Joe Redotta Trail has swelled to 220 people in recent months and become a flashpoint in the debate over how Sonoma County handles homelessness. Supervisors recently approved nearly $12 million in emergency funds to relocate the camp's residents. But those who live near it say they're not seeing results fast enough. We get the latest after this news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. Sonoma County's chief homelessness official, Jeffrey Ross, is stepping down. The announcement last night comes as county supervisors look to find alternative housing for roughly 220 residents of a mile-long encampment along Santa Rosa's Joe Redotta Trail. Supervisors approved nearly $12 million in emergency funding late last month as pressure mounts from residents who live near the encampment complaining of worsening neighborhood conditions. We learn more about the situation in Santa Rosa, how best to meet the needs of the encampment's residents and their neighbors, and broader strategies for curbing homelessness. Joining me is Linda Hopkins. She's District 5 Supervisor of Sonoma County. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. And Tyler Sylvie is with us. He's a reporter for the Santa Rosa Press-Democrat. Good morning, Tyler Sylvie.
Good morning.
So we've had a lot of news break overnight, Tyler, related to addressing homelessness in Sonoma County, and you've been all over it. So let's start with the resignation of Jeffrey Ross, Sonoma County's chief homelessness official. Is it because of the encampment on Joe Redotta Trail?
Well, my reporting, I haven't been able to speak with Jeffrey Ross himself, only county supervisors and some staff. But our reporting does show that there has been tension between Ross's view on curbing homelessness and the sense of urgency that elected leaders here have sought to display when it comes to the Redotta Trail encampment.
And what was Ross's view?
Well, Ross doesn't believe that sanctioned camps are a solution in terms of transitioning people to housing ultimately. And in many ways, that came at odds with homeless advocates' opinions that the current trail, you know, well, I would say before November, without bathrooms and without sanitary conditions, was a public health hazard.
And so now Barbie Robinson, the county's health services director, is set to be named interim executive director. What can you tell us about her? Was she more in line with what supervisors wanted to do?
My reporting shows that Barbie Robinson has drawn praise from supervisors, including Linda Hopkins, who's on the air with us today, for stepping into a leadership position on this. Robinson and Ross worked together to craft solutions. Ultimately, the nearly $12 million in solutions that were approved by the Board of Supervisors December 23rd came with both of them presenting to supervisors. But I understand that Robinson has impressed the supervisors, and she'll be up for the official role as interim director Tuesday.
So, Supervisor Hopkins, is it true then that part of the reason that Ross stepped down was because supervisors like yourself were unhappy with his view being potentially at odds in terms of how to address the encampment on Joe Redotta Trail, that he wasn't for sanctioned camps?
He is leaving his position in order to spend more time with his family. He actually never moved to Sonoma County, so he was actually commuting daily from Sacramento, which I think is really challenging when it's a literally 24/7 position, especially right now. We actually have our emergency operations center up and running to address the homelessness crisis that we see on the Joe Redotta Trail. He really brought, I think, a long-term perspective in terms of the long-term development of affordable and permanent supportive housing. And so I'm actually very, very excited to work with Barbie Robinson on addressing the urgent and immediate crisis that we see today.
Still, transitions, even if it's to someone that you're excited about working with, can be setbacks. They can slow down progress on work that you're trying to accomplish. Can you assure people that this won't slow down the pace of the county's work, that this departure?
I am confident that Barbie Robinson will jump right into this without missing a beat. The other thing is that we do actually have an incident command structure in place right now because we are running this through the Emergency Operations Center. So I think that will enable us to drive forward with solutions and actually draw from across all of the different county departments that we have. I mean, we have Permit Sonoma working on this, General Services, our Department of Emergency Management. This is truly all hands on deck. But I will acknowledge, you know, I'm sure it's challenging for staff. Leadership changes always are, especially at the Community Development Commission, which is a very tight-knit, fairly small department in the county. But I know that Barbie is immediately, you know, reaching out to all of the staff over there, making sure that she's got personal connections to everyone.
And give us a more specific sense of what is a sanctioned camp.
So we are looking at an outdoor shelter, which would involve allowing people to camp. So in that sense, it is a sanctioned encampment. But the idea would be to provide actually wraparound supportive services. So we would actually have a navigation trailer on site with folks who are actually there specifically to try to get people into housing. When you talk about, for instance, the encampment along the Girardota Trail, it is very difficult to service because it's actually spread out over about a mile and a half of linear trail. So it's tough for service workers, you know, to actually go out there and do individual housing assessments and actually provide people with a plan to get them off the trail and into housing. Furthermore, we don't have electricity, we don't have water, we don't have sewer out on the trail. So an outdoor shelter would actually provide those just basic fundamental human needs, right? We need to have restrooms. We need to have, you know, access to services and electricity, ideally showers and laundry facilities as well.
Tyler, Sylvie, give us some context here. When did this camp double in size and why?
You know, it's one of those things where it's very challenging because it's actually shared jurisdiction.
So Linda Hopkins, inside, yes.
We're inside the city limits, but we're actually on county-owned property. And so I think because of that, you know, there was a lot of confusion over who actually is on point for addressing the homeless encampment. Is it the city of Santa Rosa? Is it the county of Sonoma? We had a series of meetings before we were able to really link arms and move forward urgently towards solutions. It started developing back in September, so this has been many, many months. During the Kincade Fire, we actually saw a dramatic reduction in the size of the encampment, which unfortunately picked right back up sort of as soon as, you know, we were allowed to repatriate and repopulate the large swath of the county that had been evacuated.
And are you saying then, Supervisor Hopkins, that it was because of confusion over jurisdiction that there was some delay in trying to address the needs of the people along the trail?
That certainly caused a delay, but we are also, it's important to note, you know, under not only the Boise decision, but also an injunction from Judge Chabria that mandates that we actually provide services for each and every person before we actually move forward with clearing the encampment. And that mandate becomes very challenging to fulfill when we have a very large population that's in constant flux. So having around 210 people that we need to individually assess, but those people are coming and going and new faces are arriving every day, that makes it very challenging to actually document that we have offered services to each and every person, which we need to legally do before we move forward with clearing the encampment.
Well, Tyler Sylvie of the Press Democrat, would you like to add anything to why the camp doubled in size? And also just give us a sense of what has happened since then.
Well, I think, like Supervisor Hopkins said, it's continued to grow daily, weekly, particularly after the Kincade Fire. In terms of the why.
So are you saying that there are fire victims among the residents of the encampment?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm saying that once the evacuation orders were lifted and residents of the Girardota Trail returned to the trail, and it has continued to grow since then. The folks I've talked to on the trail, and I've been out there about five times in the past month, say they like the trail because it's one of the first times in a long time that they haven't been bothered consistently by police or authorities. There's a lot more services and a lot more volunteers out there, and so they feel like they're being taken care of and I guess, respected out there and treated well. To that extent, the folks I've talked to that live on the trail are hesitant to leave. Part of the issue is feeling like going to a sanctioned camp is so much of following rules and sort of going beyond what they want to do with it, which is sort of live on their own, apart from the rules and do their own thing.
And this is in spite of some of the things that you've reported, which is that there was a rat problem at the camp, that there had been a propane tank explosion?
Yeah, so, I mean, with regards to that stuff, some of the folks I've talked to are aware that, you know, accidents happen. There's people with varying levels of experience with homelessness there. In terms of the propane tanks, I know that there have been numerous reports of nearby neighbors having propane tanks stolen. But the folks on the trail who are struggling with homelessness have told me they have to keep warm. I talked to one man who said, if I forget to put my hand inside the blanket at night, I'll wake up with it completely numb. And so whether they be warming fires or cooking fires, one man told me, we have to do what we have to do to survive. In terms of the camp, a lot of them say, yes, I wouldn't choose to be homeless. I would not choose to live on the street. But my understanding is they feel there are a lot of barriers to housing, not least of which is the cost of rent.
What have you heard from surrounding neighbors of the encampment, Tyler Sylvie?
So neighbors have, I approached one neighbor on New Year's Eve whose friends were building a fence for him because at least a few times while he was at work on a part-time security job, some nearby trail residents had taken up residence on his porch and his wife had called him with the three kids at home. I talked to neighbors who helped put out the fire from the most recent propane tank explosion. They say it's the worst they've ever seen. Although they don't have anything against the population, they do believe that the current activities, volunteers going out there, the services being provided, are enabling to a certain extent. And that even comes from somebody I talked with, a neighbor, John George, who is a drug and alcohol counselor.
So now, Supervisor Linda Hopkins, your board has approved nearly $12 million to do what exactly?
So we are standing up a number of solutions, including two outdoor shelter locations, congregate housing, which means that we're actually moving forward with purchasing houses that people can then, you know, share bedrooms and live sort of in a community facility together. We are also moving forward with master leases. One of the challenges is that sometimes, you know, people struggle to actually find that housing placement. Even actually sometimes if they have a HUD voucher, they actually struggle to find a location to utilize that. Master leases will allow us to sort of take leases out on a large-scale apartment building and then sublease them to some of our most vulnerable residents. We've also actually moved forward because it's really critical to recognize that homelessness is often a co-occurring condition with mental illness and also sometimes addiction. And so we're actually have some money set aside for 15 rehab and detox beds, as well as some wraparound supportive services. So we're actually hiring more social workers, sort of more mental health professionals to actually go out and address some of the root causes, honestly, of homelessness, which is that people have slipped through the cracks. You know, the healthcare system has failed them in some instances, and they need some help to get back on their feet.
News broke overnight that you're considering purchasing three large homes in Santa Rosa and Cotati. And so could you tell us a little bit more about the houses you're considering and how quickly they could be purchased to provide shelter for those along the encampment at Joe Redotta Trail?
So that will actually come before the board for approval next week. And we actually have money set aside, you know, even to purchase furniture to make sure that, you know, those houses are made turnkey as quickly as we possibly can. So that could actually be set up within the next month or two, potentially, to have those houses operational. This is actually a model that has worked and already is actually working in a lot of areas of Sonoma County. Primarily, they're usually owned by nonprofit service providers. We have a number actually out in some rural areas of my district out in the Lower Russian River in Guerneville, and they have been very, very successful at getting folks off the street and then into the housing. And sometimes it's actually sort of a transitional situation where people then, you know, live in this congregate housing for a while, and then they actually move onwards to self-sufficiency and are able to, you know, hold down a job and rent their own apartment. That's always the goal, right, is to get people back fully on their feet and able to sort of, you know, be supporting themselves in a type of housing that is acceptable. What's happening right now on the Joe Redotta Trail, we know, is completely unacceptable.
And how much would it cost to buy these homes that you're talking about?
We have actually set aside, we're utilizing No Place Like Home funding, which is a state set aside specifically for permanent housing for homeless residents. And I believe that we're looking at $3 million for the initial three houses. But we do have, I believe, $6 million set aside with the hopes of purchasing at least five houses and then also being able to stand them up in terms of, you know, the furniture, the furnishings, and the supportive services that are needed.
And Tyler Silvey, based on your reporting, two of these homes are in central Santa Rosa. One is in Cotati. What do you think will be the reaction of neighbors?
Well, as anyone who's ever covered government knows, whether you're talking about congregate housing or a concrete plant, there are going to be neighbor concerns with traffic and everything else. In terms of the feedback I've gotten already via email, text message, phone calls, people are concerned about a lack of notice. People are concerned about just the very idea of sort of giving taxpayer-funded housing to people on the trail. There's a question about fairness, and that's all something that obviously elected officials like Linda have dealt with and seen during public comment and meetings about this topic. There will be a meeting tonight, actually, that that Linda is hosting, where I imagine a lot of that will come out.
Well, we invited Shane Reynolds to join us. He is a person who is living on the Joe Rodota Trail, and we're trying to get him now. But in the meantime, we also wanted to play some tape from folks who live along the trail. I know you mentioned, Tyler Silvey, that there's questions of fairness. These are some cuts from a mini documentary that was made by a Santa Rosa resident named Heather Murray about some of the perceptions that people have of homelessness and the reality of the lives of people who are there. And so I'll play a little for you now.
I'd been gone so long that the world I paroled into wasn't the world I left. I spent about a year homeless. It's hard, though, because when you become homeless, you have to take the values that you and I live by and trade them in for values that are going to keep you alive on the streets. It takes a tremendous amount of skill and ingenuity to live under the conditions that they live under.
And that's the voice of Kalani Raposa. He was paroled into homelessness after 19 years in prison for a nonviolent offense. Here's a bit more from that documentary. We also hear from Tara, who comes from a family that struggled with substance abuse, and a little more from Raposa about just what people expect of him as a result of being on the trail.
I wish I could turn it around. It's like, I feel like it's like the black hole, you know, it tracks you in.
It's just like two or three basic things that you think about, you know, food, shelter, water. And while I'm getting these things, who's going to watch my stuff? And in between, I'm looking for work. And people will feel like, well, you've got all this time. These homeless are just sitting around. Why don't they go look for work? Well, you know what? If I've got like half my day tied up in just getting fed, it makes it a challenge to get to the other places I got to do.
There's a lot of just talk about what it means to live, Tyler Silvey, in survival mode. Is that something that you've heard a lot from in your interviews of people who live along the trail?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the first interviews I did was with a man that a lot of folks call Cowboy. And I was asking him, are you going to be at the meeting, you know, tomorrow, 9 a.m. at the Board of Supervisors across town, you know, 3 miles away? He said, no, if I leave, then I risk, you know, my stuff getting stolen. I don't have any security here. If I leave to go find a job, if I go leave and work for 8 hours a day, you know, what will be here for me when I come back? Will I have my blankets? It's wintertime. It gets down into the 30s. These folks are living, as most of us do, with rats right outside their homes. Unfortunately, their homes are less solid than most of ours. These folks are living in the wintertime, in the rainy wintertime, in puddles. There is an outbreak of trench foot, which is better known from World War I. So this is stuff that most of us could never imagine. I mean, the idea of not being able to take a hot shower. There were numerous complaints, and rightfully so, in the wake of the Kincade fire when gas was shut off and people couldn't take hot showers. Linda was one of those. but imagine not even having a shower to begin with. One of the men I talked with, Shane Reynolds, who you're trying to get a hold of, has talked about, you know, using a propane stove to warm a pot of water so he could take somewhat of a warm shower on damp ground out there. Something that maybe doesn't occur to most folks, didn't occur to me, sadly. During one trip, I talked with Nicole Vannucci, who was named in the lawsuit against Santa Rosa and some other agencies. And she said, in the wintertime here, if my stuff gets wet, it's ruined. Chances are, with the weather, it won't dry out before it's gotten moldy or mildewy. And so these tents are not impervious. They're, you know, not always the best tents in the world. There's lots of tarps that volunteers have given out. But again, if something gets wet, including your socks, that's something that most of us would never have to deal with.
Well, we're joined now by Brenda Gilchrist. She's a Santa Rosa resident, and she is a member of a community group called Citizens for Action Now. Welcome to the program, Brenda Gilchrist.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. How close do you live to the encampment?
I'm only about 10 miles, but I'm in this city of Santa Rosa.
And has it affected your neighborhood?
We see homelessness throughout the county. It just happens to be that the Joe Rodetto Trail is one of the worst areas.
And so you are active with the group Citizens for Action Now. What is the group recommending in terms of how to address the needs of the people in the encampment and its nearby neighbors?
So our group is a nonpartisan group started with just regular citizens that care about wine country in our community. And we believe that housing will not fix this issue. We feel that this is not a housing crisis, that this is an addiction and mental health crisis. We feel like at this point we need compassion with consequences, and I can explain more if you'd like.
Yeah, what does that mean?
So bottom line, we've been looking at and talking to various experts, some of them in the area of addiction and mental illness, and they say that if our county spends an additional $12 million on top of the $64 million that they've spent since 2016, with our homeless getting even worse, even after spending the $64 million, that the housing solution without consequences, even though we're all compassionate about these people, is without consequences, if we put in a low barrier shelter, housing, encampment, low barrier indoor-outdoor facility, that the addiction experts that we talked to, one of them named Andy Harmon, or Audi Harmon from Sober Souls in Los Angeles, told us that we're only enabling the further addiction and causing further issues with the mentally ill. 90% of the population that's out on the Joe Rodetto Trail, they've been offered beds and have continued to refuse beds and shelter. And at this point, our group would like to see our Board of Supervisors start to enforce laws for all the same laws that apply to every resident in the county. We want law enforcement to show tough love, start to work with the population, providing citations, addressing any outstanding warrants.
Well, Brenda, we're coming up on a break, so stay with us. We're talking with Santa Rosa resident Brenda Gilchrist of Citizens for Action Now, also Tyler Silvey of the Santa Rosa Press Democrat, and Supervisor Linda Hopkins, District 5, Sonoma County. That includes a homeless encampment in Santa Rosa. Stay with us. I'm Mina Kim. This is Forum. This is Forum. I'm Mina Kim. Homelessness has become the biggest issue of concern to Californians, recent polls show. And in this hour, we're learning more about Sonoma County's effort to address what officials describe as the largest homeless camp the city of Santa Rosa has known. We're talking with county officials, people who live nearby the camp, and with you, our listeners. What do you think are the best ways to meet the needs of the people camped along the Joe Rodetto Trail, the neighbors of the encampment, and also the broader issue of homelessness? Bob writes, tents, a soup line, and mobile showers don't cost $60,000 per head. And this listener writes, Kim, why has the county let their building on West College sit vacant over a decade? That building could have been converted to rooms for the homeless with a commercial kitchen, garden, and social services. Our county has ignored this issue for years while their building sits empty. We're joined this half hour for the remaining half hour by Linda Hopkins, District 5 Supervisor for Sonoma County, Tyler Silby, a reporter for the Santa Rosa Press Democrat, Brenda Gilchrist, a Santa Rosa resident and member of the community group Citizens for Action Now, and also by Adrienne Lobby. She's board president of the Sonoma Applied Village Services. She's co-founder also of the grassroots group Homeless Action. Thanks for joining us, Adrienne Lobby.
Thank you, Mina. Nice to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you. Before I go to you, though, Adrienne, I do want to return to Brenda quickly. And before the break, Brenda, you were talking about how your group favors what really sounds like a more punitive approach to addressing the encampment along the Joe Rodota Trail. So safe to say that you are not in favor of the proposal to buy three homes in Central Santa Rosa and in Cotati to help house homeless residents?
We're not in favor if they put in homes or shelters without a high barrier program, which is enforcing rules and standards and laws. Any of the shelters and homes that have been put in place are low barrier, have been unsuccessful, like in Oakland with a mayor that recently disbanded one of the low barrier outdoor shelters. In Seattle, it's been tried. They recently, the mayor decided to disband a tiny village that was a low barrier outdoor encampment because of all the fires and crime and stabbings. And the crime increased 100% in Seattle around the tiny village that was set up.
Forgive me, Brenda Gilchrist, though. I understand you're also not in favor of sanctioned camps. And you yourself mentioned that frequently residents of the encampment will decline shelter because of the rules associated with that. So if you're proposing much higher rules for the homes, not for sanctioned camps, and understanding that they're unlikely to go if there are strict rules, where do you want folks to go?
What we've been advised by the experts in this area, because we're not experts in chronic homelessness, mentally ill, or addiction, we've inquired by asking various people that are experts in this area. And what they propose is the model that seems to be working the best, which is in Rhode Island. And it's a court-ordered mandate that people go into a shelter or correctional facility with drug treatment options. There's a program called Kodak, and it's featured on the Seattle is Dying video that's really popular, a documentary about the problems in San Francisco, and now it's a recent documentary of San Francisco, LA, and Seattle. And talking about the needs of the involuntary treatment program and how that correlates to more successful outcomes and efficacy standards.
Well, we do have an expert on homelessness on the line with us, Adrienne Lobby. And that number also, if you want to join our conversation, 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. You can post your questions or comments on Facebook, Twitter, or email us at forum@kqed.org. Adrienne Lobby, are you familiar with some of the solutions that Brenda Gilchrist is mentioning? And do you think that they are effective for the needs of the residents who live on Joe Rodota Trail?
No, these are like the most draconian right wing. Let's just lock them up and make them do what we need them to do kind of stuff. And I mean, frankly, there are so many different people who are homeless for so many different reasons that this kind of fear mongering that they're all bad people who do horrible things and are going to do horrible things to your neighborhood is just it's just kind of ridiculous.
So say more about that.
Very big stigma, and people have to live with it when they're outdoors. You know, you're homeless, you must be blah, 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 you know, all the different things that people say. And I just want to expand this just a bit outside of Sonoma County. You know, we have a military budget that is $617 billion just for the base defense budget this year. We have a high rent, low wages situation in Sonoma County, which is true all across the nation. We have a HUD a department that was cut by 50% back in the 80s with Ronald Reagan. We don't have housing for poor and low-income people. That's the bottom line here. That's why most people end up on homeless. And we really need to figure out that part. And the federal government needs to be involved. So,
well, our listener, Kurt, would agree with you. Kurt writes, you're never going to solve the problem unless you attack the root cause. The solutions proposed are only Band-Aids, which amount to taxing the residents and then throwing the money at the problem. But nobody is proposing addressing the underlying causes. Maria writes, no one seems to be addressing the issue of trail access. I have a friend who bikes to work along the trail, and it has become increasingly dangerous since the summer. After all, the trail is built for people to use it, and that is virtually impossible now. Linda Hopkins, could you address Maria's concern about trail access?
That is absolutely a critical concern, you know, and I just really want to say that the Joe Rodota Trail situation is completely unacceptable. It's unacceptable for the residents who, as Tyler was saying, are struggling with trench foot and the inability to just access basic sanitation services. It's unacceptable for the neighbors who are really heavily impacted by the largest encampment in Sonoma County's history, from what I can tell. I haven't found any examples of anyone larger. And then it's also unacceptable because this is a public good that has become actually a public liability. And so we actually really are trying, working very, very hard in Sonoma County to reduce our vehicle miles traveled, to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions. And so having this trail occupied is actually preventing some of our commuters who would actually be commuting either by foot or by bicycle between especially West County and Santa Rosa from actually utilizing the trail. But the solution, I really fundamentally believe, is housing. And I think that we need to recognize that housing is healthcare. And when we're talking about sort of criminalizing homelessness, jail is actually one of the most expensive forms of housing that we have in Sonoma County. It's nearly $200 a night to actually put someone in jail, and the jail is full. So if we're going to suddenly be suggesting that we're locking up all the homeless people, I think we also need to ask the question of who are we going to be letting out to put these folks in? So I don't support that solution. I do think that we need to move forward with clearing the encampment, but I think that we first need to offer people a place to go, because otherwise we just keep pushing the problem, you know, from one area to the next. And that's what I think people are so frustrated with in Sonoma County.
Well, let me go to George in Oakland. Hi, George.
Hi.
Hi, what are your thoughts?
I just wanted to say that here we have this society that has a total plethora of job openings for those who have job skills. And then we have this problem of homelessness of people that are unemployable. And the idea I had was that we use an abandoned military base to make kind of a campus where people have a nice warm bed, they have a shower every day, and then they have job training. And then the intervention, the grand intervention that is needed, is that we round up and arrest every homeless person and put them in that campus. And until they can prove that they have the job skills to live on the outside, live among us without putting their needles and fecal matter on the sidewalks, then they're stuck there until they can learn how to live.
Well, Adrian Lobby, what's your reaction to George's suggestion?
I'm sort of throwing up. I mean, we've got kids on the border being put in camps now, and Trump's administration is making noises like they want to do that kind of thing with homeless people. And this is ridiculous. There are a 77-year-old woman living in her car near the trail. This woman has no addiction problems. Maybe she has some little mental health issues. It's hard to know for sure, but there's such a variety of people out there, and the reasons they become homeless is immense. They're under big stress. They have a lot of trauma in their lives. If they didn't come in with trauma, homelessness itself is being traumatizing. Now you want to round them up and put them in some kind of outdoor cage? I mean, this is just, it is inhumane.
Adrian, I think it's useful here to talk about what leads someone to be homeless. I mean, in my own reporting, in reading the great reporting of others here at KQED and in the Bay Area who cover homelessness, so frequently it's a neighbor who lost a job as the starting point that towards homelessness.
Right. It's a young kid who gets out of school and can't find a job. What I say is it takes two crises. You have some kind of crisis. Maybe you lose your job. Maybe you have a divorce. You go through the support systems. You go through your savings. And then you have a second crisis. You know, maybe the stress gets to you and you start being depressed. Maybe you start picking up alcohol. Who knows what it all is? But bottom line is you lose whatever you had. And there you are. And the number of people that tell me, and it's every day, I never thought I would be homeless. I can't believe I'm homeless. Because they had jobs, they had families, they had what they thought was a very secure life. But we're now, you know, Santa Rosa is the 11th richest city in the U.S. Sonoma County is a wealthy county. Why do we have so many people who are unable to just make rent? And, you know, you can have three minimum wage jobs just to stay into your house these days. That's not an option for a survival and sustainable life. So, yeah, it's a big problem. We have 2,000 people sleeping out on the street every night. Whatever we do with Joe Redotta, we need to have a solution that fits all 2,000 of those folks. And it may seem like a heavy lift. We have a model that we think is workable with tiny home villages, but they need to be, it's a community problem. So it needs to be in all parts of the community, in the villages, in the towns, in the neighborhoods. Everybody needs to step up and say, oh, you know, we can take 30 people. We can surround them with whatever they need and get them moving on with their lives.
Brenda Gilchrist, do you think that there are ways that Citizen Action Now's position needs to soften a little bit, or that are there are ways that neighbors need to give a little from hearing what Adrienne Lobby has to say?
Yeah, first of all, Adrienne Lobby is not an expert in homelessness, so I want to make sure you guys are aware that she's a homeless activist, not an expert in homelessness or chronic homelessness. So we are having people consult to us as residents because our neighbors and community members have been terrorized by the people on the Joe Redotta trial. There's been a stabbing, a 16-year-old overdose on a heroin overdose. We've had explosions, as you said. People are going over the wall and into people's backyards and breaking into cars. They are being terrorized. The people that are left on the Joe Redotta trail are not the people that have been unable to find shelter. All of them have been offered shelter. They've all been refusing shelter. And at what point do we just enforce the laws? Adrienne, we really care about these people, and we want to get them into treatment so that they don't eventually die. We think it's inhumane leaving them in any kind of outdoor shelter. The outdoor shelter and spending $12 million, that money can be going towards treatment options. And the further enabling of this group, in our opinion, is far worse than spending $12 million on putting them in outdoor encampments or shelters without the treatment that they need.
Tyler Silby, would you say terrorizing is a correct characterization of the way that trail residents have been treating the neighbors nearby?
Well, I mean, I can't tell you what's in somebody's heart or in somebody's head, but certainly the neighbors I've spoken to, some of them do feel scared. One gentleman quit his job to be closer to his family, quit his part-time job. He still has a full-time job. Mm. Other people have been, you know, sending me. I had quite a harrowing voicemail from a woman yesterday who had a large rat caught in a trap. She blames the nearby encampment. Sure. I would say it's equally true that the residents I've talked to who live on the trail face some scary things day to day and at night. So there's sort of nobody is enjoying this, I would say, based on my reporting.
I ask, we have a comment from Maureen who writes, people are surprised by how nice most of the people are who live there along the Redotta Trail community. Let me go to Steve in Sebastopol. Hi, Steve. Join us.
Yeah, hi. I wanted to talk a little more about the kind of prevention side or the upstream side of this, the housing shortage in Sonoma County. I mean, first thing I'll say is that someone close to me looking to rent for herself and two kids about 2 years ago, they found three places for rent in the area in Sebastopol on Craigslist, and on Airbnb there are 1,000 units for people coming in from out of town for the weekend. So that's an issue. The other side of it is I have an experience recently where I visited a guy in Northwest Santa Rosa. He used to live in a 4-bedroom house. He moved to the trailer on the property, rented the house to a low-income Mexican immigrant family, and he had two other trailers there. He was really addressing the housing shortage. Not sure it's all legal. So the question is to Linda, you know, what do you see that's hopeful in terms of policy that can be done to help private landowners be part of the solution here, whether
Steve,
it's compost toilets or fee reductions, et cetera.
Steve, thank you. Linda Hopkins?
That's a great question. You know, and I think that we do need to be creative to address this urgent emergency crisis that we find ourselves in. We actually are currently under an emergency ordinance because of the Kincaid fire, where we actually are allowing folks with a very simple, very inexpensive, over-the-counter permit from Permit Sonoma in unincorporated areas to actually be able to park an RV or a trailer on their land. So that is actually an option. And I think that actually, I mean, think about it. Think about how many people we have living in Sonoma County, right? If we were able to actually reach out and establish relationships or, you know, work with some of these homeless folks, maybe we could all actually step up and be part of the solution. We've also worked very hard to streamline the permitting process for granny units, so accessory dwelling units, and also junior accessory dwelling units, where you especially, you know, we've got a lot of folks who are maybe single or maybe they're, you know, in their retirement, they're in a 3 or 4 bedroom house. This actually allows them to subdivide their existing house. And again, for a very inexpensive over-the-counter permit, they can actually stand up a junior accessory dwelling unit and install a little kitchenette and then rent that to someone. So we all need to be part of the solution in terms of developing more affordable housing in Sonoma County.
And again, Linda Hopkins is District 5 Supervisor for Sonoma County. Her district includes the encampment. We have Tyler Sylvie with us, a reporter for the Santa Rosa Press-Democrat, Adrian Lobby, Board President of Sonoma Applied Village Services and co-founder of the grassroots group Homeless Action, and Brenda Gilchrist, a Santa Rosa resident who's a member of the community group Citizens for Action Now, and you are listeners. And especially if you're Sonoma County listeners, we'd love to hear from you, 866-733-6786. You can also post your comments on Facebook, Twitter, or email us at forum@kqed.org. Let me go to Shelley in Santa Rosa. Hi, Shelley.
Hi.
Hi, what's on your mind?
I live about 150 feet from the Joe Rodotta Trail. There is about a 10-foot barrier between my subdivision here and there. And I do work in the healthcare industry, and I also have someone very close to me that is addicted to heroin. So, you know, I used to be, and I have to always have considered myself a very liberal and compassionate person. But this situation has just been extremely dangerous. This neighborhood is run rampant with people just wandering the streets that are mentally ill, currently using drugs. There are needles everywhere. People's lives, taxpayers' lives are in danger. And at the same time, I have seen people recover from drug addiction, but it takes programs and it takes mandatory programs. And these people are not going to go in voluntarily, I can tell you. And if they're not, I would simply like to ask the supervisor what she's going to do when the people don't want to leave the trail. Because this situation, unless you get these people up with mandatory requirements, they're not going to leave. And this is going to continue, and you have a rat infestation. You have, and I will tell you, a type of lice that's beginning to surface that is, that it does not respond to any current treatments. So
Shelley,
I just would like to ask the supervisor what she's going to do to get them off the trail when they don't want to go. Thank you.
Yeah, Shelley, thank you. Supervisor Hopkins.
Yeah, one of the challenges is then this kind of goes back to that issue that we have around jurisdictions is that the Sonoma County Board of Supervisors does not actually have direct oversight over any law enforcement agency. So inside city limits, the law enforcement agency that has jurisdiction is the Santa Rosa Police Department, which reports to the Santa Rosa City Council. We also have an independently elected sheriff who has a law enforcement oversight in unincorporated areas. But that said, our goal is to clear the trail by the end of the month in partnership with the Santa Rosa Police Department and regional parks rangers. Before that, though, we need to make sure that we have offered each and every single resident of the encampment a solution so that we're not just continuing to kind of push this problem from one area to the next. But our ultimate, you know, we will actually be moving forward with clearing the trail and then also making sure that we are able to keep the trail clear in the future. And I've started preliminary discussions with regional parks to make sure that we don't just sort of go through this whole process and then have the trail reoccupied afterwards.
So when will this happen?
So the goal is to clear the trail by the end of the month, so by the end of January.
And let me read a few more, though, responses that are not dissimilar to Shelley's, Supervisor Hopkins. This listener tweets, why are the 210 residents on the Joe Rodotta Trail more important than the other 1,800 unsheltered people in Sonoma County? This current proposal blows up the existing coordinated entry system and prioritization of need and sets a bad precedent for the future. So this is actually talking more broadly about the homeless population in Sonoma County and all the resources that are being put towards the Joe Rodota Trail. So sorry, that's slightly different than Shelley's point. But do you want to address that listener concern?
Absolutely. You know, and I think that it's important to recognize that, yes, we have a huge amount of need throughout Sonoma County with respect to the homeless population. And I've been fighting, you know, actually the highest homelessness per capita is in the Lower Russian River in Guerneville, a very small rural community in Sonoma County. And so I'm very concerned with homelessness everywhere. But we have unique needs that are created when you have 210 people living in a concentrated area without sort of access to the basic needs for human, you know, survival. We don't have adequate sanitation facilities. We still don't have adequate hand washing facilities. There are no showers. There is no laundry facility. And so that in and of itself does create a public health crisis. And we have had issues with disease, and we also have had issues with rodents. And so that actually does raise this to the list of sort of top concerns and the top priority for the county of Sonoma right now.
Well, this listener writes, I was gravely sick and could no longer work, lost my job, and ended up homeless. I'm from Sonoma and was helped by Sonoma Overnight Support. So finally, after 6 years of living in my van, I received an apartment at reduced rent in Oakland. I'm so grateful, and it infuriates me to hear someone say it's not a question of housing. How dare they? Go do some volunteering at a soup kitchen or a shelter and learn. Go bike another trail. David writes, having cities and counties working to provide piecemeal solutions to homelessness is impractical and unaffordable. This issue is too big to have every city and county reinvent their own responses. Homelessness must be dealt with on the state and federal level. So, Supervisor Hopkins, you know, Governor Gavin Newsom this week announced that he is going to make homelessness a central piece of his budget. He's proposing spending $1.4 billion to try to tackle the state's crisis overall. He also talked about opening up vacant state land to emergency shelters for homeless people under an executive order. Do you know if this will help Santa Rosa or Sonoma County in any way?
Absolutely. You know, and I really, really appreciate that Governor Newsom has prioritized homelessness as one of his top issues. But I will say that what we really need on the local level is sustained funding. We keep getting these kind of one-time tranches of funds, which are very helpful, but that doesn't actually allow us to build programming, right? At the end of the day, we need consistency. Nonprofit organizations and local government need to actually be able to hire staff, and not just on a, you know, one-year funding basis, to actually carry these programs forward. And I do think that there is definitely a role for the state and federal government to play, not only in providing financial resources, but also intellectual resources surrounding best practices to address homelessness. And I also want to add that, you know, the federal government, we need more housing vouchers. And those housing vouchers need to be worth more than they are, given the sort of current housing market that we're facing in Sonoma County. It simply isn't enough, quite frankly, to get landlords, you know, to be able to accept them. They're often below market in terms of the price of rent in Sonoma County.
Well, this listener writes, all but one of my nieces and nephews had to move out of the state to afford a place to live, and they're all young, productive, professional people and Bay Area natives. Why are we bending over backwards so these people can stay in the area? Build a homeless shelter somewhere where land is not so expensive. Adrian Lobby, what's your reaction to this? That the sense that the county is bending over backwards to help this particular group of people?
Well, the county is actually, and I got to praise Linda Hopkins because of, we've been watching this for 5-6 years. We've seen 6-7 encampments just completely swept. We see the police harassing people on a daily basis. Linda's really stepped up to say, hey, we can do better than this. This is not humane. So I've got to praise her. But I want to also praise something that's really different here. I've been doing this 5-6 years now. There is a huge outpouring of support for the Rodota Trail people. There's a Facebook page that has like 2,000 people on it. They've been able to provide pretty much one meal a day of some kind of meal, donations of tents and clothes, and now we're starting a laundry program. So I've never seen this amount of love and understanding from the community. I think it's really important to acknowledge how things have, people are fed up with not doing anything, and the politicians who've sort of kept their heads in the sand for years and years on it, but they're also willing to do stuff and come out on the trail. People come out there with their little carts. I don't know most of them, and they just say, here, do you want a sandwich? So that is really great.
Well, let me go to Stosh in Oakland and see if I could get him in the last minute or two that we have. Hi, Stosh.
Hi, how's it going?
Great, go ahead.
I'm an Oakland resident with a growing homeless encampment under the freeway, about 150 yards from me, and trying to keep a few of my friends from being homeless. But I think that we should use these military bases such as Fort Cronkite and the Presidio and Navy Shipyard and Alameda for homeless people, but they should not be mandatory. They shouldn't be rounded up, but those should be options, and we should be able to bus those people into the city for jobs or to panhandle or do whatever they need to do, and they can get bused back at the end of the day. We should be using those places, but it can't be mandatory.
Stosh, thank you. So, Linda Hopkins, as Tyler Silvey mentioned, there is a meeting tonight where residents are invited to voice their concerns, hopes, whether they be trail residents or nearby residents. This is at 6 p.m. at Roseland Library. As we finish this segment, what is your message to the people who will show up tonight about how to approach this forum at the library?
You know, I really want to be very solutions focused, and I want to be able to share the plans the government has come up with, but with the intention that if there are better suggestions or if you have questions about those plans, you know, this will be an interactive process. So we want to make sure that we provide information and we're able to answer folks' questions, and then we actually want to solicit solutions from the community. I think that as Adrian said, actually, the community is a huge untapped resource, and I have actually been overwhelmed with both the compassion, the creativity, and the intellect and the passion from all of the different residents who are actively talking to other cities, you know, talking to other states, talking to other friends and other communities, and then bringing solutions back to the table. Because it's going to take all of us to figure this out, and there is no silver bullet when it comes to solving homelessness.
Well, Supervisor Hopkins, thank you.
Thank you.
Brenda Gilchrist, thanks as well for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Adrian Lobby, thank you as well.
Thank you for covering this, Mina.
And Tyler Silvey, appreciate your reporting for the Santa Rosa Press-Democrat.
Thank you.
Thanks to our listeners for calling in with your questions, writing in with your stories. We really appreciate it. You're listening to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. Stay with us for another hour.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.